live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
It's Victory Monday for the Jaguars. Welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday, Brian Sexton. Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com is here. Got it right again?
You got it.
Finally. Fine. I'll get it before we go. And then Tony Baselli will make his way in here. He just ran out to go and take a quick look at something, part of our conversation this evening. Jaguars get their first win of the season, and our big three tonight are Victory Monday for the Jaguars. The status of Jaguars middle linebacker Paul Posluszny. We'll hear from Jeff Loggeman here in this first segment on what he thinks about the hit between Andre Branch and Paul Posluszny, and we'll talk about improvement, where the Jaguars got better, where they need to continue to get better if they are going to win down the stretch. And of course, the CopyFax face off tonight. The value of winning for this football team. Don't give it away, Pete Prisco. Don't give it away. That'll come up because it's about the Jaguars. The CopyFax face off tonight moves into the first hour, so buckle up because Pete and Tony are going at it. Let's start with the Victory Monday thing. I mean, for this football team, 8 straight losses, and yet every week the players are consistent. Gus is consistent. I've been amazed at the way that Gus Bradley has been able to keep on message and thus keep his team. You know, 0-8, that's tough.
Yeah, and the thing about it is getting the feeling of having a victory in the NFL for a lot of young players. I mean, think about that. There are guys in that locker room that never felt that
Jonathan before. Cyprian, Dwayne Grotz.
Yeah, and major contributors who haven't felt that. So, to me, that's a big deal for those young guys, to taste it, just to feel it. Come off the field, feel good about yourself. Go in the locker room, celebrate something, get on the plane, you feel a little bit different. It's good for them to feel that. I really believe that. And I'm a big believer in building from the bottom up. And when you see young players play well, to me, that's a good sign for the future. And you're starting to see that around here. Gratz is going to be a heck of a player. I think Cyprian's going to be a heck of a player. I think Evans is going to be a good player. There's young bodies over there. That's what you want.
You need to make your mind up.
Why?
It's good for them to win.
I don't go further than
I'm just saying.
For them.
Hold on. You need to make your mind up.
For them.
You need to make your mind up.
I'm saying for the players. If I'm a player, I want to win.
You're confused.
If I'm a player, I want to win.
Players, for sure.
Right. You're confused.
We'll talk about this later,
but you're confused.
We're talking about Victory Monday. And look, this is a football team that got their first win yesterday and really validated it for Gus Bradley. I know you remember the Jags' first win in Houston.
Yep.
They started 0-4. It was nothing like 0-8, but you had a 7-game losing streak your rookie season and finished with a win against Cleveland here.
That was torture.
On Christmas Eve. So you can appreciate what a lot of the young guys, which is what Pete was talking about, what they are feeling today.
Well, you know, when you're losing, you feel like you're never going to win a game, and it almost becomes contagious. But when you win, then all of a sudden everything's better. It feels better. It validates what you're doing. And now you think it builds confidence so you can win again.
All right, our second story in the Big Three tonight is Paul Posluszny. It was a big-time hit. I mean, a wicked hit between Andre Branch and Paul yesterday in the fourth quarter. Jeff Loggeman joins us now. He's getting ready for Jaguars All Access tonight. Special guest is Cindric Marks, the former Titan who played so well, forced the safety. But you came into the studio earlier tonight, Jeff, and you were talking about that hit, and it brought back some memories for you, didn't it?
Yeah, no, not real good ones, Brian. You had Paul Posluszny closing in on Fitzpatrick from one direction and Andre Branch coming from the line of scrimmage from the other direction. And neither one of the guys saw each other. And they kind of met at locker, and as Fitzpatrick dove head first and down, Andre Branch goes right over the top of Fitzpatrick and hits Paul Posluszny, I mean, right almost in the chin. And you could see from the film his head and neck compress into his body. Now, during the game, it happens so fast you don't really kind of see exactly what happened. But when you watch it on tape, it took me back to 1992 when, in New York, Dennis Byrd collided with Scott Mercero, and Dennis Byrd ended up breaking his neck. And I think Andre Branch is very fortunate that there was a little give in Paul Posluszny's head and neck area, because if that was lowered a little bit and he hits Paul Posluszny in the chest, we could be talking about a serious neck injury for Andre Branch.
So when you look at that, Posluszny obviously stood up and then fell down. He is in the concussion protocol program, according to Gus Bradley. And Gus today wouldn't rule it out. He understands that the Jaguars have had a number of players who have gone into it, who have not played the following week. He would not say one way or the other. Do you have a gut feeling on Posluszny and whether he plays this week or whether this is something they're going to deal with for a couple of weeks?
I think I would be shocked if he plays this week, because this was something that was seen on television. I think the doctors are probably going to be a little leery of having a guy that couldn't even stand up on the field, and it was captured on video, and putting him back out there the very next week. You know, Paul Posluszny is probably going to fight it tooth and nail the whole way, much like he did on the sideline yesterday. But I would be very surprised if he plays this week. Kind of surprised today that Andre Branch wasn't, you know, talked about by Gus Bradley. You know, so obviously he has been very fortunate, because when Andre Branch rolled off for that collision, he looked like he was hurting as well.
Well, I think I disagree. I mean, I don't know if Paul's going to play or not, but the way I understand the concussion program goes, there's a baseline test. And so if you pass the baseline test and then show no symptoms of a concussion, it doesn't matter what happened the previous Sunday. It's all about what you, once you get in the program, once you pass the test, the baseline test, whatever that written test is that they take on all players from the beginning of the year to this point. And then if you don't show concussion syndromes, then you can play. So if Paul can pass the test, then he's going to play, because Paul Posluszny, my guess is not going to tell anybody. I mean, he was trying to go back in the game right then.
Yeah, Justin Bland, Mike Ryan.
He's not going to tell anybody if he, you know, is maybe have a little headache or anything like that.
They had to hide the helmet. One of the medical assistants, Justin Bland, grabbed it and took it and gave it to an equipment guy. Otherwise, Posluszny was going to fight.
Yeah,
his way
so I don't
in.
Think it has anything to do with the fact that he struggled getting up and fell down, and he jogged off the field.
But you got to remember, Tony, that's a medical opinion.
Well, not the baseline test, as I don't think it is.
Yeah, but you know what? Baseline tests are all subjective. It's about medical opinion as well. And I think when you have a high-profile player on this team like that, I think then a doctor would be very leery to clear somebody to play the very next week, when what the result of that concussion the previous week was seen so readily.
Well, I guess maybe I want to say I disagree, but I'm not going to, because maybe I don't understand the baseline test. I was under the impression the baseline test was actually much more scientific and not opinion-based. It was a test that every player took at the beginning of the season, and then if they had a concussion, they had to retake it and had to score a certain percentage point or a certain standard to get back to the baseline to be cleared, or the first part of being cleared back into play. And then on top of that, there were the, if you showed concussion syndromes, you had to work out. Did it give you a headache? Were you sensitive to light? Whatever those lists were. And it wasn't so much an opinion. It was based on facts of the player's baseline test and what symptoms they were showing moving forward.
Yeah, I think the procedure is they have a baseline test, but that's also subject to medical expert's opinion. You know, that's just one of the tools that they use to kind of standardize these tests for the players to come back. And I think it's much more involved than that. I mean, have you ever seen or heard of physically seen the baseline test? I think it's much more involved than just a standard written test. And I think I'd be surprised if he plays. You know, I mean, that was significant now. I mean, we're talking to him. He almost tore his knee trying to stand up.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. You know. I'm the other way, Jeff. I would be surprised if he doesn't play. I think he'll play.
Why do you say that?
Because I Paul Posluszny is one of those guys. I mean,
Tony. Okay, I know you think he'll play, and I know you think he's one of those guys. If that's your son, okay, and that happened to him one weekend, would you let him play the next weekend?
If my son was Paul Posluszny at that age, as a grown man, I'd say it's your decision. Oh yeah, I mean, I'm saying it's Paul. I mean, listen, I'm on the other side, Jeff.
If Paltas Lesney is your son, your teenage son.
Well, there's two different things as far as.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not. I mean,
Paltas Lesney's a grown man who's fully developed. He's not an adolescent whose brain is still being molded. He's fully developed. It is completely different medically. I mean, how the brain reacts is when you're through adolescence and as a full grown. My son wouldn't be getting paid millions of dollars as his job. And here's the thing. I'm on the other side of this thing. I've said it all along on the concussion thing. There's no scientific proof connecting all these bad things to concussions. It is a theory. They're still testing.
Well, I'm just saying. About the major litigation.
I'll say this. A person's well-being. Okay, I'm just telling you. I'm not talking about litigation, Jeff. I'm talking about future issues, medical issues. If I was a player and that was me and I could pass the baseline test, I would go play.
But there's a lot more that goes into it now, and they're a lot more cautious than when you guys played.
Oh, I'm not saying
you would have played and you would have been allowed to play. Jeff would have played and he would have been allowed to play. Now
my point is, if Paltas Lesney passes the baseline test, Paltas Lesney is going to be the type of guy who is going to push the envelope based on what I know about him. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying he's any better of a person for doing that or not. I'm just saying his demeanor and what I've seen of Paltas Lesney, if he can play at all and can convince them to play based on passing that test, he is going to go play the game. And as I don't think it's a fair question of making a judgment on based on a high school kid and a grown man playing professional football. But I'll say this. I'll answer this way. If the doctor told me he was cleared to play, then I would say, fine, go play.
Jeff, I know you got to go.
Not me. I will just add this. You know, I played in New York with a guy by the name of Al Toon, who had multiple concussions long before, you know, they ended up having this protocol procedure that they have now. And Al Toon's life has changed forever because of some of the concussions that he had. And I think, hey, look, if a guy ends up missing one football game after having a blow to the head like Paltas Lesney had, if it's that big, I mean, holy cow, I wouldn't want to be a part of that game.
All right, Jeff, I know you got to go because you got to get ready for All Access. And Derek Marks tonight, 7 o'clock, CBS 47. Appreciate your opinion.
All right, guys.
All right.
By the way, the guide is not intended to be a substitute for the clinical judgment of the treating healthcare professional and should be interpreted based on the individual needs of the patient and the specific facts and circumstances presented.
So I guess it's not an objective. It's very subjective.
It's not an end all be all.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, and I think your point is still valid, Tony, and that is that the Jaguars are going to look at this. They're going to look at it a couple of different ways. They're going to make their own decision. And if the doctors say he can play, you say play.
Go play, because here's my thing. We don't know if just because he had a violent hit, which was very violent. I agree with Jeff. It was scary. But you don't know if adding another 2 days of rest or another week of rest makes it any better.
Right.
I mean, they don't know.
If he's cleared to play, it's his decision to play.
Go play.
Right.
Now, if he chooses not to play, that's also his decision not to play.
I don't think Jeff was arguing that. What I think Jeff was arguing was it was a severe hit, and caution would be the better part of valor in this respect.
Well, but here I go back to, we don't know exactly. If you're not showing any symptoms of a concussion, then you go play, because we don't know exactly how the brain works. We can all assume and jump to conclusions, but there's not scientific proof connecting the two. Now, we assume there is, and that's where it's going, we think, but we don't know. And listen, if Paltas Lesney plays, I won't be shocked if he plays at all.
And if he doesn't play,
then
you wouldn't be shocked either. Yeah,
right.
I know Paltas Lesney's hurt if he doesn't play.
Well, I know that Jeff came in here earlier today as Joe and I were getting ready for the show, and Jeff walks by on Mondays, and I grab him and say, "Hey, you know, share a couple thoughts with me. What did you see?" And normally I have to pull it, you know. I mean, he's happy to share it, but normally I'm hitting him. He said, "Now, hey, you got to watch this hit. You got to see how serious it was.
Oh, it's a big time
hit."
It
brought back images of Dennis Byrd, and that's when I said, "Okay," because he's good friends with Dennis Byrd. He didn't bring it up all that often.
For the Dennis Byrd part,
it was lower.
The danger was Branch.
No doubt.
Yeah, it was Branch, not Paul. No, Paul just caught it in the jaw like a heavyweight knockout punch.
Yeah, absolutely. So today, Gus Bradley left it wide open. They're going to evaluate him. He is underneath the supervision of the protocol that the NFL has set up. It's obviously a big story. He's one of their best defensive players, has been all season long, and the Jaguars are coming off their first win. When we come back, Tony and Pete square off in this week's Copy Facts Face-Off, and it's all about the value of winning for this football team in 2013. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, this Sunday's Military Appreciation Day at Everbank Field. Come show your support for the men and women who serve our great country. The Jaguars host the Arizona Cardinals. Military Appreciation Day, proudly sponsored by our friends at CSX and Florida Blue. Brian Sexton, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco with us here on Jaguars Monday from the HananiahAutos.com studio.
Military, real quick. I played in the Birdies of a Brave tournament at the TPC Sawgrass Stadium course today. And you talk about what a great event. In a number of the home front operations, like the home front charities were there, and that's what they support. And I got to meet a bunch of the Wounded Warriors and guys. And you know, tell Veterans Day today, go tell people who serve thank you. And come this Sunday to the Jaguars game and buy a ticket and support it. It is outstanding. The money that goes to the veterans' causes and the Wounded Warriors, and those guys are studs.
All right, you got 4 minutes, guys, for the Copy Facts Face-Off. The value of winning for this football team. Pete, I know you've said it time and again, winning is losing, losing is winning. I know Tony disagrees, so I let
because
you go at it.
He's a soulless.
A soulless? What does that have to
do
with anything?
You're soulless. You have no being.
No, I think
it's all about
picture.
It's
you're
all
emotional.
About, no, it's all about self and money and me.
That's what makes the world around, baby.
See, that's my point. That's why I don't agree on many.
You know what he agree? You know he's the kind of guy that after a game, rah-rah, won a game, one win. What's it mean?
You know what it means is they won. They won a game. Okay. It validates what Gus Bradley's doing.
Yeah,
it's something to build
good.
On.
And you're a former player, so you're feeling good.
It is something to build on for the future. Yes.
It is?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's just say they don't win another game the rest of the season, right?
I think they're going to win
they're
two
gonna
or three.
They're going to build off that one victory?
It's better than losing none. I mean, it's better than winning none. Absolutely, it is.
It doesn't. By the time they get to play another game next season, they're
going
to build off
that
one.
It makes a difference.
It's like when you guys – didn't you guys beat Cleveland one year at the
end of
the year?
It was great.
They built on that. Yeah, they built on that.
You compete. That's learn about winning. It's about – listen, that's why you play the game.
It's good for the players. That's not the argument, though.
It's good for the players. That's why you go watch a game. That's why you play the game. That's why you invest. That's why you cheer for your team. It's about winning, Pete. Okay. I know you. That concept is foreign to you because it's all about money.
No, it's about winning.
You.
It's about winning
no,
it's, it all. It's not
it's
about winning,
winning
one crappy
Guess
game.
Guess what? To win it all, you got to win one.
They're not winning it all this year.
Well, you got to build on something. You got to start somewhere.
And they're better
off. You have to validate
building.
What you're
wait,
doing.
Wait.
They're better off.
So let's just play this out. Let's say that they win a couple more games, which they might do. I think they're going to win two or three more.
Okay. I think they'll end up 3-13 or 4-12.
And they play themselves out of this top draft spot.
No big deal.
And the guy that that's
first of all, there's no Andrew Luck this year.
What and the
that
guy
matters.
Who eventually gets picked in the top spot ends up being a franchise quarterback. Are those wins worth it?
Yeah,
they are.
I absolutely.
How?
Listen, Dave Caldwell's job is to go pick the best players where he drafts and figure out how to manage
that
situation.
You don't have that quarterback, I don't care what you have. You're not winning.
My point is, it's his point. There's no guarantee the first guy is going
to
be the guy. You can pick the wrong guy.
Would you like to have the
option? First of all, there's not that guy this year, Pete.
Would you like to have the option of having the decision to make?
No, listen, I would like to win football games.
And then, as somebody else in this room said, being the first in the second round or second in the second round?
I'd rather win.
You'd rather win. You'd rather be picking eighth or ninth.
I want to win. I want to build.
I want to find guys
who know how to compete and are improving or getting better.
That's like,
and the only way you can do that, Pete, your argument makes no sense.
It's all or none.
So why don't you just forfeit every game then?
Huh?
Why don't you just forfeit? Why don't you not play anybody? Why don't you just go play all the practice squads guys?
Because people are playing to get better for.
Well, the only
way,
if you're playing to get better and you continue to improve, the end result is winning ball games. So when it gets closer, they say, let's put the press squad guys in now.
So you're the kind of guy that, because USC is out of everything right now, that when they won the other day, you were happy they
absolutely
won.
Absolutely, I was happy they won.
What? It didn't mean anything.
Absolutely, it meant
what
something.
It mean?
My school won.
See,
my guys competed,
they
won.
We differ. Once ASU loses, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, because they've never won anything.
Huh?
You've never been a part of anything that means something. That's part of the problem.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you went to a university that's a perennial loser.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. You don't understand
You're getting so caught up in the emotion of being a player. You're not a player anymore.
I'm talking about building something. Okay, let me ask you a question.
What's better for the organization long term?
The best
winning
thing
is to create a winning culture. Draft pick.
Create a winning culture.
No, two
That's
years
the best.
From now.
That's the best thing
to
do.
You think two years from now anybody's going to remember this victory?
Doesn't matter.
It's not going to – it will matter if they drop down in the draft.
You're creating a culture of winning, of excellence, of getting better. And the natural progression is if you get better from day one throughout the season, you're ultimately going to win football games.
You can create the winningest culture that you'd ever have. You don't have that position. The guy behind center, you're never winning
anything.
Under
your theory, then, we should just play the practice squad
Maybe if they're going to get better for 2015 when you actually have a factor,
And go put all the starters on the IR so we make sure we don't lose any games. Or maybe we could call Roger and say, Roger, can we just forfeit to ensure the first pick?
No, you're finding out if the starters are going to be here in 2015 because you're weeding it. It's a weeding out process.
Yeah, but by that process, if they're getting better and you're doing a good job as coaching, you're going to win football games, Pete. You cannot show up not to win the game.
Victory, loser Monday.
First of all, tell me what your solution is. Huh? If you're running the organization, what do you do?
You want the players to play hard and try and win. It's good for them.
Whoa. So I won. Thank you.
No, you didn't. It's bad for the organization. It's bad for the organization.
Good for
the
winning is always
good,
Pete.
No, it's not. But winning a game isn't winning, Tony.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, if you have more points than their guy, it's called winning, Pete.
Okay, so if they win four games
this year. I know Arizona State hasn't done it very often.
Four. They're a little bit better than a certain team out west right now. I'll tell you
that. How many national titles you guys have?
None.
No. We have about nine.
When was the last one you had?
2004.
It's been a while.
Not as long as never.
Hey, if you go 4-12, 4-12, 4-12, 4-12, three straight years, they've won 12 games. Is that winning?
No, you're not building anything.
He said it! Building!
No, you have to win to build, though.
No, you have to have a quarterback to win.
All right, we'll leave there. This is the topic. Is winning losing or is losing winning for this football team? And we'll talk about it over and over and over as
like
the Jaguars get towards the second half of the season here. All right, time for news from our folks over at News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 69. Well, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. You'll find snacks and drinks and food and everything you need when you stop by Gate. We should just point out real quick, we're here arguing about winning and losing in football. And during the break, we're watching the news and the incredible devastation and the loss of life in the Philippines. And folks, if we recognize that we're in the toy department here. Just our thoughts and prayers to all the families. I know there are a lot of people that are looking at this and just stunned at what went on in the Philippines. I mean, especially people in Florida who understand what a strong tropical storm can do. 195-mile-an-hour sustained winds, beyond words. And good to see our military is responding, and they're going to be there to help. And again, Sunday is Military Appreciation Day at Everbank Field, so come show your support for the great men and women who serve this country like they will in the Philippines. Jaguars host the Cardinals, sponsored by CSX and Florida Blue. All right.
Before you get back to real quick, I just want to say something about Richie Incognito and the Jonathan Martin situation. Richie Incognito's name is mud for the rest of his entire life. He's done, right? Is mud. He could check into a hotel. Incognito. It's not going to be like if it was Baselli or Prisco, but Sexton, you get away with it. You know what I mean?
It goes away. People forget.
We forget sometimes in this league. Ray Lewis, the incident that he
was
involved
in. That's my whole point. He was part of it.
Leonard Little.
We forget.
Pac-Man Jones. Yep. All these guys came back, and the things that they did were, if not
hurt other
worse,
people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was
physically
Ray was basically a part of a double murder, right?
Well, he was there. Yeah.
I'm not saying he did it, but I'm saying he went to jail for obstruction of
Pac-Man
justice.
Pac-Man Jones had an incident where the guy got in a wheelchair. Yep.
Am I right? Didn't Ray go to jail for obstruction of justice?
Yes.
Well, they let him off for time served.
But he was in jail.
No, he was absolutely in jail.
I'm just trying.
Wasn't it perjury or was it
obstruction of justice?
Something. It was obstruction of justice.
But I'm saying this. Richie Incognito has done some really stupid and dumb things. I mean, he was an assault on a woman and everything. I mean, Richie Incognito has some problems.
Right.
You think?
But it's still kind of mystifying to me that they're killing this guy to the degree that they're killing him when others like Ray Lewis, Leonard Little, all these guys, they just came right back in and played football again.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if it does go away, as Tony said, and he hooks on somewhere.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to go away where he's going to be able to play again. I just think people forget about it.
Well, there's some people that think
something
that
else will go on.
John Martin will never play again, I don't think.
Does he want to?
That's what I mean. I don't think he wants to. And plus, didn't he break the locker room code? And isn't breaking the locker room code one of the worst things you can do in this league, Tony?
Yeah, and I think just from the responses of the Dolphin teammates, I mean, Incognito is much more welcome back than...
By the way, it's interesting what you say. Incognito is a noted tough guy, which is why some people think he will play again. Jonathan Martin showed himself to be something less than a tough guy, which is why a lot of people don't think he'll ever play
again. Let me ask you a question. Is the media making more of this than there really is
there?
Yes.
In our society, everything
is. Well,
I know, but listen, I'm against bullying. I just want to make sure so I don't get called and called bad things. But some of the...
You were giving it to Joe pretty good yesterday in the booth.
And even some of my brethren on some of these different talk shows and pregame shows, and like the outrage they're showing is laughable to me a little bit because they were a part of it. I'm not saying they did went to the length they did, but
the use of the word is what it takes it over the top to me.
Well, I agree with that, but listen, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying it's okay, but I've been in the locker room that word, which is not okay, is used very loosely.
And by the way, Shannon Sharp called people out yesterday and said no one should use the
word. I agree.
Especially black athletes who know what it means. So there's somebody who goes Bill Cosby on NFL players and says you shouldn't use the word.
I agree.
None of you should use it.
I agree with it, Shannon. I think Shannon Sharp, he had a pretty passionate monologue. I mean, he went after it.
I think this kid just wants out. I think he wanted out. He found his parents are attorneys. If he goes away and walks away without wanting to play anymore, does he get any money?
Probably.
No. But if he walks away with this situation, he's going to get paid.
But my question is this.
It's very calculated.
Now all of a sudden that Incognito is like the face of bullying. Was this bullying?
No, but Richie Incognito could be the face of a lot of stuff.
I was going to say, he had a reputation, which makes it worse.
I get that, but all of a sudden, this is like a national cry out now. Oh, no. I've heard NFL needs to step in and investigate and do all that. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that are who was it that said, never let a good crisis go to waste? There are people out there who are using this as leverage to make their
point. Agree.
But the next thing we're going to start reporting on Richie Incognito having fights when he was in second grade.
That's already been out there. It's already been out there. Someone wrote a column talking to one of his peewee football Jersey. It's already gone back that far. Incognito is the wrong person to get stung for this because he'll never be able to live it down, which may indeed harm him based on what he has done in the past.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Richie Incognito though sues the league and the NFL as well for wrongfully, because the reports are out of Martin's own lawyers is that it's more than just Richie Incognito. And if I'm Richie Incognito, I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Why am I getting suspended and nobody else? I got my guy who's saying it wasn't me.
Plus, the other thing
I got text saying, I mean,
the text that he sent, there are texts coming back.
That's my whole point.
And his attorney said, well, he was joking around about his, but Richie's are serious, and the attorney for Martin says his are a joke. They were the same type of situation.
You think that Martin's going to be suing the league? I think, or the Dolphins or whoever, I think Incognito will be filing a grievance very quickly.
Both of them will, which will force the commissioner to do something something that you don't think needs to be done.
It's ridiculous. I'm not saying that language is okay. And I don't think using a racial term, which the N-word.
That should never be used.
It should be used by anybody. But for everyone on the sets of these shows being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. It's like, wait a second, guys.
All right, let's assume
least Shannon Sharp was honest enough to say, listen, nobody should say it and it's wrong.
Right.
And recognizing that it is used
liberally.
Nonchalant, liberal way.
Let me ask you this.
By a lot of different people.
If he doesn't use the word, is there an issue here?
Probably. I mean, because some of the other things they allegedly said about the sexual references to his family members.
Yeah, but it's that word that is fuel to that fire,
right.
And it brings a lot of other people in. I'm surprised we haven't seen Al Sharpton yet.
Well, I mean, the other side of it is, though, that, I mean, you have his teammates and African-American teammates basically saying, we gave him permission to say that word. Right. I'm not saying it makes it okay, but, I mean, it changes. I can't remember who said this. Maybe I read a tweet or maybe someone said it to me. Is you got to be very careful to make judgments on the locker room with normal cultural standards. You can't make judgments on the locker room
or,
like a normal workplace.
Or,
like, you can't go to IBM and say, this is unacceptable, and then say, well, you can't do that in locker
room. Or with friends.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'll say this. and I'm not saying racial stuff now, but I joke in a manner, and Pete and I were talking about this before the show, and say things to my friends that if you just wrote the transcript.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're my good friends.
Have you seen the movie 42?
Yes.
Do you remember the scene where the...
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, great movie.
Great movie. I know you watched it on either the way over or the way back from
way
London.
Back.
There's a cookies. Scene where the longtime Philadelphia Phillies, were they the A's back then or were they the Phillies? They were the Phillies. Manager is using the word over and over and over. I mean, literally. Now, I'm watching that movie with my kids, and my kids don't
so
know...
so uncomfortable.
They don't know that word, right? It's not something they hear. And so I quickly stopped the movie, and I said, guys, let's understand something here. We don't use that word. No one uses that word. Don't use that word. But over and over and over, even in a movie.
It was uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Now, you hear it in the locker room, and the same feeling comes out. I hear it. You go, whoa.
I got to be honest with you, but like, locker room.
No, the players don't because they hear it so often.
But like,
they're desensitized, too.
Okay, I'm Italian. You're Italian. You've had friends of yours call you a Dago or a Wop or a Guinea goofing around, right?
Yeah.
You don't get mad at them.
No.
If some guy off the street called you a Dago, a Wop, or a Guinea, you get mad at him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the context in which it's used.
Yeah. It's just different.
Still.
Yeah, so it's a bad
situation.
My point
is, I'm taking the racial stuff out, which is wrong. But if you took transcripts of what all of us say to our friends on a out of fun, laughing around, and then just put that on a transcript, people would be like, he is a terrible person. He's a bully talking
way.
If they took a transcript of what I say to Joe in the booth, or he says back to me in the booth when we're joking around, you're a bully. You can't tell Joe you're going to beat him
up like that. There's 1,100
texts
between the two of them in the last year.
I mean, come on. And so what's
I bet you don't even text Brunel that much.
No way.
All right, we need a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Jaguars'
on a daily basis,
first victory Monday of the year. One of our big three stories, along with Paul Posluszny and the Jaguars improving, getting better over the final seven games of the season. We're back with more after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Baselli's off in search of what, his first dinner or his second?
First.
All right, great. He leaves us for the final 7 minutes.
He has a first dinner, then he has a second one when he goes home with the family, and he lies about it.
Are you eating your dinner, just getting off an airplane?
No, that's a bar that I
Yeah, but is that
lunch.
Your dinner?
No.
Hey,
one
folks,
bar would be my dinner? I don't know what my dinner will be.
You could find out tonight. Join Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, and I'll be there as well this Saturday at Everbank Field for the fourth annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a one-mile fun run. It benefits programs that help you recognize their full potential. If you don't know what the Wilson family and their supporters have done with McKenzie's Run, go to mckenziesrun.org and see how they have turned a personal tragedy into a triumph for a lot of people. That's mckenziesrun.org, and we'll see you Saturday here at Everbank Field. All right, the head coach today, right, look, everyone was happy after the game. I don't know whether you noticed it, Pete, because you were in South Florida and you were working, but I think Chad Henne took the game ball and gave it to Gus, and Gus threw it back real quickly, shook hands, and then he was the first one off the field. Gus is not about making this about himself or bigger than what it was, one win, and today he was asked about the idea of the I got it speech. You know, he said all along the three most damaging words for this football team are I got it. So did they get the speech today, helping keep them grounded?
To me, it's important that how we go about this journey is with humility. I think you've known me long enough that that is very important to me, and I know it is to our organization. And I think that it's hard, right? You win, you're excited, you have a great victory, and you come into the locker room and everybody's excited, and not to take away from that excitement, but also to have the humility part of it, I think is key. And I think, you know, if you keep that mindset, you have a better chance to improve and to get on course quickly. And I felt our guys handled it really well.
Right, and you could tell in the locker room today. You know, I mean, it was easier to answer the questions. It was easier to be in there, whether they were watching TV or playing ping pong or just relaxing. And, you know, I mean, Cecil Shorts walked in after the wide receivers meeting with a smile on his face. And, you know, look, he's a guy who gets it, and he's a professional, and he doesn't let the highs or the lows affect him too much. He did, though, have a quick answer when asked about how it felt today.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you after Ole Miss start and get a win? So, yeah, we're all excited, but like I said, this just gives us confidence going into next week.
All right, Pete. So the reality for this football team is, hey, You got a taste of winning. It validates for a lot of young players what they're doing. And as I said off the top, to watch Gus week in and week out be the same guy. You know, I mean, Maurice talked about it. Jeremy Mincy talked about it. It's about getting better the second half of the season. Wins and losses don't really matter.
Right, and that's my point. I think playing a lot of young players who by the end of the year will be better and be in the line of fire, and next year they go into the second year,
right,
and they've been on the field playing,
right,
that matters. That's good for this football team. And if you win one along the way, that's good for the players,
right,
but for the long-term viability of the franchise, it might not be.
Well, look, if you were worried about the win-loss record this year, and Gus has said from the beginning, and David Caldwell's backed him up, so is Shad Khan, that this was about getting better, getting better, getting better. And for this football team to get better, it's about those young players. You could have kept the Daryl Smiths. You could have kept the Terrence Knightons, Derek Cox. You could have kept some of those veteran players who would have given you a better chance to win more games. But 5-11 doesn't matter as much to this football team as these young guys getting to play.
Yeah, and they might have probably should have kept Terrence Knighton on a one-year deal or something.
Well, it would have helped, yeah. Although yesterday, you know, you saw those guys play better inside.
Right, they did play better inside.
Yeah, you sure did.
But and Knighton's playing very well for the Broncos.
Yeah. Big, powerful guy.
Look, it's about – see, Tony doesn't – he's a player. He's a former player. For him, it's wins or losses. It's black or white. For people looking at the organization and the long-term say, you don't want to be 5-11, 6-10, 7-9. That's not what you want. Yet there's winning involved in there, in his scheme of things. To me, that's not winning.
To me, that's just existing.
That's just existing. Is 7-9 winning? You won 7 times. Is that winning?
Well, I'll say this. Yeah, it is wins. Win 7 times.
That's not winning!
So let me ask you a question, Pete. When the team was 4-7 in 96, should they have just tanked it?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Winning that, going 9-7, which sometimes doesn't get you in the playoffs, 9-7 at times has you at home. That year, because of how the math worked out, 9-7 got you a chance to play in the big game.
But you had 2 straight years near the top of the draft. You added a lot of talent in that second draft in 96.
Plus, they had the extra draft picks in 95.
I guess the point is it's all about talent and getting more talent.
The reason I was a little
bit late. You were in a position at 4-7 to have added that talent.
The reason you're a little late is because you got a pile full of food.
It's not why I was a little bit late. I was been right on
time. Next year, that 4-7 analogy, I think, would fit better.
My point was, Gus was up there. So I stopped and we were talking about high school football, my son, everything else. But I promise you, if you got Gus Bradley on the show right now.
What's he going to say?
No. In an honest moment, true serum. You gave him true sermon, says, is winning important for this team right now? And he would say, absolutely, without a doubt, yes.
But that's not the most important question.
That's not the question. And if we put the truth serum in him and put him on the lie detector test and said, Gus, would you rather win one game this year or have your franchise quarterback 2 years
from now?
But
you're assuming that's a guarantee.
That isn't even the question I would ask.
You're assuming things. Is Tom Brady the franchise quarterback?
Yeah.
He wasn't drafted in the first round.
Okay.
Okay, Drew Brees, is he the franchise quarterback? He wasn't drafted in the first round.
Okay.
But is Russell Wilson right now the franchise quarterback for them?
To be determined.
But he was in the first round. But is Ben Roethlisberger a franchise quarterback?
Yeah,
he wasn't top 10 pick.
No, he's first round, though.
Wasn't top 10, Pete.
Yeah,
he was.
No, he wasn't.
Was he 11th?
11th.
Okay.
And that's only because Shaq Harris
screwed it up. Aaron Rodgers franchise quarterback?
Yeah, he was last.
Is Peyton Manning a franchise quarterback? Is Eli Manning a franchise quarterback? Is Joe Flacco a franchise quarterback?
You're missing my
point, though, Pete. Is Philip Rivers a franchise quarterback?
Just because
I can counter you.
My point is this, though. Just because you pick number one or number two or number three doesn't
matter. Is Andrew Luck a franchise quarterback?
Doesn't guarantee you get the guys. Ryan Leaf a franchise quarterback?
No.
Is Kenny McDowell a franchise quarterback?
No, there's been plenty of
us. Is Achilles Smith a franchise quarterback?
No.
My point is. So just because you get there,
you think Dave Caldwell's
win. You try to win
good?
No matter what.
Do you think Dave Caldwell's good?
I do.
Okay, so then if he has the first pick, you trust that he's going to get a franchise quarterback?
Is Ozzie Smith a good GM?
Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Smith, shortstop.
Great shortstop,
Okay, he found Joe Flacco. And when's the last time they picked number one?
They haven't.
They
got Ogden and Ray Lewis in the same draft.
Okay, Ray Lewis was in the 20s.
But
if you're good, you find the players.
If you're good, but you'd rather have the first pick.
I'm saying you don't play.
Is Ryan Grigson in Indianapolis good?
I have no idea.
I think he screwed up with Trent Richardson big time.
You're right. I do.
He gave away a number one pick.
I think that was forced on him. But do you think he's good?
I have no idea.
But no matter if he's good or not, he's got Andrew Luck, so you don't have to worry about it. Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck doesn't come around every year, Pete.
Here's the question I would ask. I would ask, is winning the most important thing for his team this year? I'm looking at this year as a singular thing.
Right, getting better.
This year. But if you're getting better... If you're teaching a team to get better, the natural result of that, you're going to win.
I think they are getting better.
They are
getting better. But I don't think you can argue.
And they're going to win 2 or 3 games.
That the talent gap the talent gap between this team and a lot of the other teams is significant.
Listen, I just look at it, I guess, from a perspective.
You are entitled to your wrong opinion.
I mean, Joe, help me out here.
All right, folks, it's just conversation. We'll stop for news here at the top of the hour and come back with another hour of Jaguars Monday from the HannityAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. And you're listening on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
From the HannaniaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday. Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studios. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, and Tony Baselli for Jaguars Monday. And here are our big three stories relating to the Jaguars. Number one, victory Monday for the Jags. First time all season long they can say that. Our second big story is the fact that the Jaguars will, in, I shouldn't say will, could be without Paul Posluszny, their middle linebacker, who is now in the concussion program, subject to the concussion protocol set by the National Football League. Whether he plays or not this week is to be determined. And finally, the Jaguars talk today about getting better. How about a quick injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Obviously, Posluszny in the program. And that's really about it. I mean, we heard that there were a couple of other players who were subject to it still, Will Rackley and Stephen Burton, who will both go through that. But that's all we heard on injuries today from head coach Gus Bradley at his news conference. So, before we turn the page on this altogether, we had an interesting conversation during the break, and that was one of the reasons why I am with you looking organizational at this, that getting better doesn't necessarily mean a winning record this year, is because Dave Caldwell, I think, had a terrific draft. And we're saying that without Luke Jokel. I mean, he's on injured reserve. But you look at Jonathan Cyprian, who today, Gus said, dipped a little but was better against the Titans. Is Dwayne Gratz going to be a player? Boy, he sure looked it yesterday, right? Ace Sanders, maybe not as a receiver, but as a punt returner. And today, Gus Bradley talked about how a block here or a block there, and we said yesterday in the booth, boy, it's fun to watch him with the ball in his hands, but a block here, a block there, and Sanders gets free, and how they're coaching their guys to remember who's behind them and to hold their blocks. How about Denard Robinson?
I think Denard Robinson is going to be a running back.
He looks much more comfortable as a running back than he did playing all that other stuff.
He's a fifth-round pick. How good will he be?
I don't know, but I think he has a chance to be a good, solid running back.
And again, in today's does it really matter if you have a good running back anymore?
Yeah, you have, but yeah, I think it does matter. But the point is you can find good running backs in the fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Right.
So it does matter.
And he's a guy with incredible running ability. He just has to learn how to play running back. Hey, how about Josh Evans, right? He's been starting since the Seattle game. I think it's clear that his physical condition hit the wall. He was looking a little slower. They rotated yesterday. He got the predominant number of snaps with Winston Guy at free safety, but he played pretty well. I think he's a guy who has real upside.
Well, that's what this season's about, finding about which one of those
and
guys
I like
can
to meet,
play.
And I like Demetrius McCray. I think he's a guy with real ability.
For the secondary, you got to figure Josh Evans will be that much better next year. So you have to figure they have Gratz, Evans, and Cyprian for the next five, six, seven, 8 years. Those guys, if they're good and they stay good and they get better, they're going to be the nucleus of your secondary, right?
Oh, I agree.
So what are they lacking? Okay, we're going to fast forward.
What are they lacking?
No, what are they lacking in terms of going into the draft next year if you have a premium pick in the first round? Quarterback, pass rusher. It's the same story. It's been that way for the last 10 years around here.
Yeah, but that's just the first round. I think there's a lot of other areas that you can draft.
Of course. I mean, you got to ask questions about who's going to be the down inside lineman.
You need your
linebackers.
Offensively, I think you're fine at the tackle position. You need inside three.
So you're saying Pasdar is a guy you think you can go forward with?
Yeah. You'd play him at right tackle?
Yeah, I would next year go into. I mean, if I was – I'm not the GM, so, I mean, I'm just saying.
We can play it, though. We can play GM.
I would go with Luke at left and Pasdar at right, and Cam Bradfield's my swing.
Now, Pasdar needs to get a little bigger, doesn't he?
But he will. He's a young guy.
He looks thin to me.
He's not thin. He's a big human being, but he needs to get stronger,
right? Okay.
Which he will.
All right, so then center will be a new position.
I think you got to look at I mean, I think all three are on the table as far as
next year inside. Yeah.
And free agency is not off the table when the Jaguars look to improve their team.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I think a lot of people thought it would be 2015 when the cap takes the jump up that the Jags would get active in free agency.
Well, the Jags have plenty of room. I think they have the second most cap room behind the Cleveland Browns.
The problem is who's going to be on that market. Well, you know, that's the thing.
You don't want
to get an old guy because by the time you're good in 2015, he might be a descending player.
And by the way, the Titans center, Schwanke?
He got benched.
Schwanke. What's
he
that?
He got
hurt.
No, he got hurt.
Maybe he's going to get benched.
No, he's good.
You think he's good?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Well,
that.
He and Loggy both think. They were raving about
it. Go watch coaches.
What, you
tape.
Think he's athletic?
He's a late round pick.
Powerful.
He's a late round pick from Cal.
He's a good player.
He's a third round pick, isn't he?
Fourth.
Yeah.
Good player.
They benched Rob Turner. Did you remember that? He was the starting center.
Schwanke?
What do you think of Levitre?
I think Schwanke.
What do you think of Levitre?
He's a good player. He's a stud.
What do you think of Warmack?
I thought that just okay.
He's going to be good, though.
I think DJ Fluker's better than he is.
But he plays tackle.
I'm saying I was taking Fluker ahead of Warmack.
Some people in Tennessee think that the right tackle's starting to slow down a little bit.
He's not playing. He's been out for 2 weeks.
When he was playing, you think he's done?
He's better than Otto.
Well, Otto's terrible. No, but did you watch the tape early in the season from Stewart?
No, I didn't.
Slowing down. So that's a big hit for them.
Schwanke is a good player.
He's athletic.
Oh, he's powerful. He's a big dude.
What about the left tackle?
Roos, he's still solid. He's not like he was.
But he was never like one of you guys.
No, but he was good.
Right. But here's the thing, Tony. This is a legitimate question. Guys like you and Ogden and Jones, those guys aren't around anymore. Why?
I don't know.
Is there a theory on it?
No, I think everything goes in cycles.
Are the athletic big guys on the defensive line instead?
Yeah. That's what I think. I mean, think about it now.
Well, I don't think Ogden or I were going to play defensive line. If we even ever, I mean,
could you have though? I mean, if in college you had been identified as a guy, I mean, could you have played that side of the ball? With your physical ability, I think you could.
I don't know. I always played defense, offense.
But, yeah,
but
I was good in high school.
But Tony, think about it. Your golden era of left tackles. You had yourself. You should be in the hall. Rofe, who's in the hall. Walter Jones, who's going to the hall. Ogden, who's in the hall. Some people think Pace should be in the hall. I don't. But think about that. Where are the tackle? Name me. And Joe Thomas is having a good year this year.
Joe Thomas is good.
But is he a Hall of Fame tackle?
No. Jason Peters is a good left tackle.
The Hall of Fame tackle?
No, but he's good.
But I'm saying you had five in your era right there that arguably could be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, look at the number of tackles that are in college ball that are coming out. I mean, forget the couple that came out this year, right? I mean, Lane Johnson along with
Fisher.
With Fisher and Jokel. But look at the guys. Just look at the list of the number of guys who are playing the position. The guy at Alabama.
Matthews is pretty good.
The Matthews guy at Texas A&M.
Taylor tackle's pretty good at Texas A&M.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah, I can't even pronounce his name, so I didn't try. Taylor Lewan at Michigan is a hell of a player. I mean, you've got a lot of really good. You may not have elite, but you're really good.
Well, I do. I think some of these guys will be elite. I think it goes in cycles.
How about the fact that they play so much spread in college that they don't learn to play the position the way?
Well, I don't like the spread. That's why I think, listen, I think Alabama, Stanford, those are two great offensive lines.
The offensive line
they play power football.
I'll say this. The offensive line play in the National Football League across the board is as bad as it's ever been, unit by unit.
Well, just go look at the rushing numbers, how they're down.
You know how much you like the 49ers offensive line? Do you realize they're like 27th in sacks per pass play?
But how much of that is on Kaepernick?
Some of it.
Running around like
some
a madman.
Some of it. Well, they got whipped. You know, they got whipped yesterday.
Well, that's a good.
I want you to. That's a good Carolina.
That Panthers. I mean, you were right. I mean, you called at the beginning. Charles Johnson, Greg Hardy, Star Latouille inside,
and Kawan Short,
and then Keckley is the middle linebacker. Yeah, I mean,
it's
good.
A good seven. It's a good front seven, and they cover up what happens in the back end. You know who's making plays for them, don't you?
I haven't seen him.
Drayton Florence.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know he was still in the game. Yeah, I thought he left
cut
after
him,
Buffalo.
Brought him back. He was there in the summer, cut him, brought him back, and he's making plays.
Well, with a front like that, it's probably for him.
Again, it goes back to my theory about pass rushers cover up secondary. If you're not good, it happened in the 1985 Bears, greatest example of all. Ron Rivera talked about it in the summer with me. He said, look, we can cover up our guys because we have that pass rush. All right, here's one. Here are the Jaguars. Do you go sniffing around Greg Hardy if he's available?
Oh, I would. He's a good
player.
Or
Charles Johnson.
Both. Go sign both. You got enough gap room.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, one of those guys will probably cut free because they won't be able to sign both in Carolina, will they?
Well, Charles, no, I'm not talking, I'm talking about
Michael Johnson.
Michael Johnson.
You're talking Michael Johnson, Cincinnati, yeah. Greg Hardy, and who's better, Pete? I haven't watched Greg Hardy enough.
Greg Hardy is, I think Michael Johnson's better, but it's close.
Greg Hardy can play Michael the run. Michael Johnson's more of a physical specimen.
Well, Greg Hardy's strong. And he
I haven't seen Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy went from 300 pounds in the summer to 285, 280 because he wanted to be quicker. And Ron Rivera, you know who he compared him to? Now, this is high praise, and I don't think he's in this class. Richard Dent.
Golly.
6'4", 290 is where they list Hardy right now. I'm just looking at both
these guys. Yeah,
he's
down a little bit from that, though. He lost weight. And Michael Johnson's a huge, tall, lean.
Michael Johnson's a man.
He's lean. Michael Johnson doesn't have a lot of sacks this year, but he's played the run unbelievably well. I mean, look, those two guys are going to be free agents. Bengals can't bring Michael Johnson back. They can't afford him because they're going to sign Geno. They can sign Geno, and they got Dunlap done. They can't afford all three, so he's out. He's going to be a free agent.
What are they going to do? Carolina will bring Hardy back, don't you think?
They would like to, but, you know, I don't know. Hardy's had some – Hardy's a weird dude now. He's I like him, but he's a strange bird.
In what way?
Kind of floats to his own beat a little bit.
That means nothing, Pete. He floats to his own beat.
You don't know.
Was he like, I mean.
Well, he had problems at Mississippi.
Okay, like what? I'm not asking
like
you.
Off, he got grades, kicked off to school.
So he doesn't like school.
Well,
he
that's not a problem.
He doesn't have to go to school anymore.
No, that's not a problem.
You praise guys who don't like school.
Yeah, I do. I praise guys at ASU who don't go to school as long as they win me a title.
They're never. But that's why you lose.
No.
It's a school of losers. But go ahead.
What if you won? When has your school won something? 2004? Well, how many decades ago is that? Half a decade ago? Almost a whole decade ago.
You've never won anything.
Came within an inch. Bruce Snyder, God rest your soul, you cost me that title.
Okay. So what else?
Bad clock management cost me a title.
Is Greg Hardy, I mean, is he a drug problem guy, an alcohol problem?
No, he's not a drug.
Okay,
just,
you're floating like a bee to like another, like, pollen music. I don't know what that means.
Immature coming out, got kicked off for a while, came back. So, look, I like him.
Okay, that's not a problem.
I think you play. Michael Johnson is a beast.
If you had to pick one of them, who are you taking?
To me, that's a tough. I'll be honest with you. I like both of them.
Okay, you had to pick one. Who are you taking?
I'd probably take Michael Johnson.
Okay. All right, we're due for
that.
A break.
Just for that reason, I'd take Greg Hardy.
You haven't even watched him yet. Go fill your plate up again for your second helping.
I am going to eat more food. I'll be back.
You really are, aren't you?
Hey, folks, yeah. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is the official watch of the Jags. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers right back here in Jacksonville. And we're back from the HananiaAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco, and it's brought to you by PRI Productions.
Prisco Productions.
You sponsor the show?
Hope not.
Let's grab John down in Keystone with a thought. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
Right, on the radio show.
The thing is what I'm trying to figure out is Pete's saying we need to lose to win, but who's supposed to be the person to make sure that we do that? Do they tell certain players to make sure we lose?
That's where Pete's theory falls apart and doesn't
I'm
make any sense at all.
No. Let me finish. Or is it the coach make sure he does coaching to make sure we lose? Is it Dave Caldwell tells the coach to make sure we lose? Or is it the owner tells the Caldwell to make sure the coach tells somebody
none of that
to make sure we lose?
None of that.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it's good for the guys inside the locker room to lose. I'm saying for the long-term viability of the franchise, it's better for the franchise if they lose.
In other words, what they're saying is, and what Pete's saying is that this year, where the talent gap is great and where you don't have the players that you need, losing is not a bad thing for this football team. Now, for Gus, for the players, for the culture, for selling tickets, winning is always the best thing. But overall, this year, it's a good year to stink. And the Jaguars are not a really good football team right now. And so for them, it's not a bad thing to be in a position next year to draft high.
I'll say this.
No one's saying, oh, by the way, Gus, make sure that so-and-so
right.
doesn't play
this week.
Bench
this guy so you lose.
There's none of that.
No. I'll say this. If we're going to operate in a vacuum, then I agree with both you and Pete.
Yeah, because you're looking big picture now.
If we look, but you don't operate in a vacuum. That's my whole point. Agreed. But if you operate in a vacuum, I agree with what you were saying. Like, nothing else matters, you know.
Well, right.
Yes, getting the higher picks, as many picks as you can, is better.
If you were the general manager, what would you want?
In a situation where this team is.
I always play general manager. So
I would want us to compete and get better and win, and so I can find out what I have.
But don't you think they're doing that? They're getting better.
They're
competing.
They can do that without winning.
Right.
That's the ideal scenario.
Right. And look, this year.
I couldn't get myself to go there, I guess.
Well, yeah, you're a player. Of course you're not going to go there. Right. Your mindset is win, and that's what players are supposed to do. And by the way, coaches are supposed to do that.
Yeah, I think.
You're probably the guy when your team was down 35 in the fourth quarter, you were still hoping you'd come back and win when the reality was save yourself for the next game.
No, I was the guy who knew that we were getting our rear ends kicked and it was no fun. It was absolutely miserable, and I wish the clock would go about 15 times faster than it was because there was no chance.
Why?
But I had enough
pride. Wait, why'd you want it to go fast if you could use that time to get better?
Because you were down by 5 touchdowns. No, because we couldn't win any longer.
But you guess could what? Get better.
Guess what I had? I did. I went out there because I had pride, and said it's my job to go out there and play as hard as I can.
Do you know, I just want to, let me interrupt.
So that's the difference between you and I, Pete.
I'm not going to do this very often when you guys get going, but it is kind of a vacuum this year for the Jaguars. No, it is this year. This is a year where everyone knew.
Go ask the ticket guys if it's a vacuum.
Well, okay, but
I'm not talking if it's a vacuum.
I'm not talking
not
about
what he's
that.
Talking I'm not talking about football.
Go ask Gus's assistant coaches who are competing to keep jobs and everything.
You know, and
go ask them.
This is a scholarship year. They knew what they were coming into. They knew they were
no
coming into an
in
awful situation. This year it is.
No.
Yep.
This year they got the total support from Shad Khan.
2-1, you
complete support.
So you're saying 100% of the assistant coaches, the coaching staff will be the same next year.
No, of course I'm not saying that. And I'm not talking.
There's no vacuum.
I'm not assistant coaches. Not doing a good job.
I'm not, and I don't know who those would be anyway. So I'm not saying.
I have no idea. Maybe there is 100%. I'm not saying I have any. I just want to make it clear because some people think that when we say things, we know something's coming.
Yeah.
We have no idea. I'm just saying. My whole point in that is, assistant coaches, Gus, tickets, sponsorships. Guys working their butts off. Equipment guys working 100 hours a week.
It's a vacuum for the record.
No, it's a vacuum for you guys talking on this radio about the hope.
You got to do a good job. You got to do a good job. But it's a vacuum as far as the record because at the end of the season,
their best job
the record doesn't matter. And they've said it from the beginning it doesn't matter. They've said it's not about wins and losses. Gus doesn't even like to talk in those terms. And so this year, based on what happened last year, new general manager, new coach, new approach, new philosophy, new culture, right? This year there is sort of a vacuum, if there can be such a thing as sort of a vacuum. It's a philosophical conversation
a
half vacuum.
Call your attorney and get the stay.
But what?
You're eating like you're on death row and you're getting executed tomorrow.
This is all protein. It's healthy.
By the way, does that count as your second dinner?
No, that's like
the second helping. Will you guys stop worrying about my food?
Second dinner will be with you.
Honestly.
I'm not.
Well, you're not here half the time because you go upstairs to get something
half
to eat.
The time. So that means I miss an hour of a two-hour show.
Just want to point out, on the board behind Pete, it has your goal of hitting 280 on March 1st, and we're looking out for you. This is
Brother. My God, that's cold, baby.
That is your brother.
Is that considered
from another mother?
Is that considered bullying?
Yes, I think that's bullying. Yes. I do, and I think agree. A sensitivity lesson
I
is
do.
In store.
You just said I was obese and a fat pig, and my feel. Yes, you did. That's exactly what you just said. You just.
All right, let's grab Craig from the south side. Hello, Craig. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good.
I'm going to talk to you one-on-one, and I'm going to just pretend that Tony and Pete aren't even there.
That's impossible.
That's impossible. Craig.
Good try.
No, I agree. I think they're both right. Number one, Tony's a professional athlete. They're trained,
and they're not.
And they're built. They're built to win. That's the way. But Pete is looking at the big picture, and the bottom line is they're
Pete's
both
soulless
right.
too. We know that.
But
and you're not a professional athlete anymore.
And I am not a professional athlete.
No, he's not either.
He's talking to Tony. See, I told you couldn't get away with this talking directly to me. I appreciate
Brian,
it, though.
I'm
thank you.
In 3 to 5 years, we Jaguar fans are going to be floating like bees on pollen music.
Look, let me give you.
What does that mean?
Okay, hold on. No, don't. Who cares what it means?
Tony just said that.
No, I know. Pete did.
Let me give you what I tell people when I'm out speaking. Right? The worst team in professional football in 1997 was the Indianapolis Colts, and the prize in 98 was a quarterback named Peyton Manning. The worst team in football in 2011, right, was the Indianapolis Colts, and the prize was a guy named Andrew Luck. Now, I'm not saying that either of those quarterbacks
are they in the draft this year? Because I must have missed that.
No. Right now, I don't know. I'm not an evaluator of talent. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure, too, but yeah. You don't know for
sure. You don't know for sure. You don't. So what I'm saying is there are times where you make good decisions when you've been losing and you are rewarded with long-term winning. And so let me finish real quick. I don't do this very often where I stop you. The reality of it is if you offered every Jaguar fan out there who knew what this season was about and understood the chance to build a long-term winner with patience. Be patient this year. Let them draft next year because we've seen what Dave Caldwell and his staff have done. If they do that again and it builds a long-term winner, are you willing to be patient and not look at the one loss record in 2013? I'm going to guarantee you that 75% or greater of them would say, yeah, I'll take the long-term winning because I understand what this year is. That's just my philosophy on this. And I look at it from the macro point of view, not the micro point of view.
Well, let me give you another macro vantage point.
Okay.
Because it's easy to cherry pick the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning.
They're in the division.
And Andrew Luck.
What?
But I could give you.
They bookended it, by the
countless
way.
Other
teams that had opportunities.
Yeah, number
that's
one.
That's why I said make good decisions because there have been plenty of teams that haven't.
But that.
I'll give you.
Or the players weren't there. That's not fair to the team.
Here's the word.
Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning haven't been there every year.
You don't know that. But
oh, I don't?
No, you don't know that.
Really? I don't know that in the last 20 years of the draft, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck haven't been in
every draft. Let's just go real back. Let's go back real quick. Go to 2004 and look at what Eli Manning meant to the New England.
He is not Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck, by the way.
But he's won two Super Bowls. Right.
Because of one of the best passers.
And because of him.
Oh, he's
two touchdowns in the fourth quarter in a
Super Bowl MVP.
Hey, Tony, here's the word that you lose sight of. You ready? Sustainability. The Kansas City Chiefs, the 2000 and was it the 8 Titans, they went undefeated through 9 weeks and everybody got all happy about it and everything. But was it sustainable?
No.
Why wasn't it sustainable?
Because you had an older quarterback that was playing out of his mind late in his career,
right.
And you knew you couldn't, and they haven't been able to.
Why is it not sustainable in Kansas City?
I don't know if I can say that it's not sustainable in Kansas City.
Alex Smith is the reason it's not sustainable in Kansas City.
Yeah, but he's played lights out the last couple of years, 11, 12, 13.
I know, but he's not good enough to win.
He doesn't like him. It doesn't matter.
But the point is, for this franchise, which has had a playoff season in the last 10 years.
Two.
And then went psh, 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 psh.
Right.
Wasn't sustainable.
Right.
Why wasn't it sustainable?
Well,
because they didn't have the damn quarterback, Tony. You could talk to your blue in the face about this guy getting better and that guy getting better. If they don't fix that position, doesn't matter.
You know,
all right, let me just go through the list here. So the Rams had a terrible season.
He used his phone on the internet.
They were picking up number one and they got Sam Bradford. I bet you that was really worth it. What a great year that was worth. Oh, the Miami Dolphins.
They picked wrong.
They got Jake Long at number one. He's not even on the team anymore.
They picked wrong.
How about going 1-15? What a great deal that was.
They picked wrong.
Jamarcus Russell. Oh, I hope he's
come
in the
on.
Draft.
You're using the Raiders now. They picked
my
wrong.
My point is, go through these now, drafts
do you
and
think
tell me where Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning were.
Would you have picked those guys?
No.
None of them.
Then
that's
then
it. They picked wrong.
They picked the wrong guy.
I'm just saying.
I think what we're saying is based on what we've seen from Dave Caldwell, based on this year's draft, you put him at the top. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Think he's gonna be a good
I do believe in him, but my point is,
well,
I also
player.
Believe in him. If we have the third pick, he'll pick the right guy.
But
like he did
you,
this year
you,
when he took.
Do you know why? Do you know why the number one or number two, the number one in particular, appeals to me, is because he has talked repeatedly about draft picks, draft picks, draft picks. If you don't like the guys at number one, someone will come for Clowney. Someone will come for Jadeveon Clowney or maybe Teddy Bridgewater or Mariota. I don't know. But someone will come for them. And if you could pick up if you could get a Julio Jones deal for this football team and stockpile picks that allow you to move around to get the guys that you want, it's flexibility for a guy that I think is a good drafter.
Here's the other thing.
But that's me. I'm looking philosophically.
2 weeks ago, the Green Bay Packers were an ascending team. Oh, my God, they were hot as can be. People were looking at them. Maybe they can compete for the NFC title again. Look how good they were playing. Aaron Rodgers goes out. They lose at home to the Bears, who aren't very good. And then they lose to the Eagles yesterday and couldn't do a damn thing. If that's not proof of what that guy means, I don't know what it is.
Oh, I agree with you there. But he was also drafted at the bottom 24th. Of the first round.
Right. 24th.
Right.
So guess what? The Green Bay Packers didn't go 0-16 to get him.
I'm not saying you want to go 0-16, but you're better off having the look.
So you don't know if you are.
Dave Caldwell is good. Then you believe he's going to get the better player at one than he would at seven.
You know, we're going to find out in the spring when the evaluations come out and when we have a better idea of exactly where Mariota and Bridgewater. If Mariota comes out, he's a redshirt sophomore.
He's coming out.
He's coming out.
All right. Mariota and Bridgewater.
Hundley.
And Hundley. We're going to find out in the spring what these guys think about them, and then you'll know. But no
I
one
guess
is
my
saying.
Point is I mean, Pete, listen, for the most part, I agree about quarterbacks. Also, I think the best team in the NFC right now drafted a kid a year ago in the third round.
Right, but Brady was a sixth-round pick. Sometimes
no, my point is...
You're right on Drew Brees.
My point is...
You don't have to get your guy in the top five.
And if, God forbid, Russell Wilson got hurt, it's not the end of the world for the... I mean, they're not...
They're done.
No, they're not done.
They're
not the way
done.
That team's built, Pete.
They're
no,
done.
It's
okay.
Not.
First off, right, they might not get there because argument. Of the way they're built.
This is another argument. We need a break.
We folks, do. I feel like it's like a 2-on-1 fight, and I'm whipping both of you. I mean, I'm thankful I have the ability.
You're getting
–
when I went up and got food, you said, let's gang up on him.
We're
I'm fine with that.
We're beating up on the Jolly Green Giant.
And I got Joe over there making very insensitive sounds to me about being a fat pig.
You can go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape, folks. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. News is next here on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, you know it, folks. Jaguars Monday, always lively. HenneyAutos.com studio filled with folks here as we go into the last 22 minutes of the program, turning our attention to Denver, where Jack Del Rio is really unhappy with the hit that Corey Leggett put on his quarterback. Manning today, MRI. They said he just aggravated the ankle, but by the way, he suffered when the Jaguars hit him early in that ball game.
Low.
Yeah, out there. So the question mark is, was it an illegal hit?
No.
You're wrong.
No, the rule is if you impact the legs like in a manner where, you know, full speed targeting the legs, it is. But if you're on the ground and you're low and you're wrapping him up, it's not a penalty.
I know, but he went low.
No, he didn't. He wrapped him up. He was
low.
Falling down kind
low.
Of and wrapped him and went down. No.
Quit being so
clean.
Nice. He went low.
It was clean.
And by the way,
Peyton Manning
plays two huge games on Sunday coming up in the next 2 weeks against Kansas City and New England. Stay the hell away from his legs.
No, because y'all promise you else. You want to know who else is going to be by near his legs?
Who?
Houston and Tom Bahali.
And you know what's going to be going by their
guess
head?
Guess what?
Justin Houston.
Football's
Justin
going down,
Houston.
Going down there. Going
you're right.
Right
they're going to tattoo him, and they're going to beat the
they're
Broncos.
The Kansas City's going to beat the Broncos?
Yeah, they're going to tattoo him.
That's so laughable. That's the worst 9-0 football team I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm not saying they're not, but they're going to tattoo Manning.
That is the worst 9-0.
And
people in Kansas City hate me right
that
now.
That offensive line for the Broncos has not been playing very well. They've been getting a lot of pressure and hits, even when Manning's getting rid of the ball very quickly. And that Houston front seven is very good.
I got to point out, you know, my twin brother and my younger brother both live and work in Kansas City. And all of their coworkers and all of their friends know that we do a show together. And they send some hatred back over the phone through my brother. They're like, he works with that Prisco guy. How does he manage that?
People in Kansas City treat me as if I said barbecue in Kansas City sucks all of it. I mean, it's just
they have good barbecue.
Yeah, somewhere Culpepper is just turning over in his grave.
No, it's great. I love their barbecue. It's one of my favorite places to go eat barbecue.
I really do think Kansas City will.
They're going to win in Denver on Sunday?
I think they can.
You're just saying that just to be a contrarian.
Ask Brian. I picked Carolina last week to beat San Francisco in San Francisco.
Well, I thought they'd play with him. I don't know if they beat
him. I picked him.
So you think Kansas City's going to beat?
Yeah. Because I Peyton Manning's go look at that Indy game. Go look at our game. He got hit.
And what did he throw for in those games?
Well, and if the Jacksonville Jaguars could have taken advantage of
he
the
had
mistakes,
299. If it's this
if,
team.
If the Jags could the offense could have taken advantage of the mistakes that were made by Peyton Manning that offense, they could have beat.
Are the Chiefs a good run defense?
No, they're not as good.
28th in the league.
I just said they're not. Will you relax?
Right. But the perception is that they
are. But they're good at rushing the passer.
Right. But I think they'll get them, dictate tempo, and they won't be as good rushing the passer.
My only worry with the Chiefs is can they score enough points?
Let's go through the team.
They don't score a lot of points.
You realize that the Cowboys lost last night?
They're awful.
So they haven't beaten a team with a winning record.
I want to talk about the Cowboys.
They're terrible.
Are you done with Peyton? Can we talk about the Cowboys?
He's never done with Peyton.
Okay.
He loves Peyton.
The Cowboys.
Don't hit him. Don't touch him. You would probably, if you were a commissioner, you'd say anyone
so
who tackles
not,
Peyton Manning.
We're not done with Peyton yet.
Anyone who tackles Peyton Manning's fine.
Anybody who tackles Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, any of them.
All right, let's move on real quick.
Loose cannon.
Hey, you know, America's team is in real trouble. Not only have they not beaten a team with a winning
record.
They
are no longer America's team.
Their salary cap situation next year is devastating. They are in real trouble. $30 million over the cap right now. And the cap's not supposed to go up next year. It's 2015 that it goes
up. Who's the general manager?
Jerry Jones.
And thus the problem.
And you can't fire him.
Right. I mean, they look like they are going to be really difficult team.
I think the injuries last night.
Not to play, but a difficult team to manage.
No, last night the injuries got to them. I mean, you're playing with a banged up DeMarcus Ware. Sean Lee went out. They don't have Anthony Spencer.
Yeah, but boy, Drew Brees was on fire last night.
But I think the Cowboys, look, they have the nucleus. They have Bryant. They have a good left tackle, Tyron Smith. Now, he might be one of the better tackles. Where'd he go to school? USC. He's been really good this year.
He's not consistent, Pete. He's not been really good.
Yes, he has. Go watch
the game. I have.
You don't think he's been good this year?
He's been really good at times, but he's been very inconsistent. When you're really good, you don't get beat.
I'm just telling you. I'm talking about for this current level of tackle.
No, he's been good. Not really
good.
In
this league, he's been really good.
Not here.
But
you think they can survive the $31 million?
That I don't. Where do you trim the fat?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. Yeah. You got fat to trim.
And by the way, DeMarcus Ware, and I know he's been injured recently, but he just doesn't look like the same guy.
He did early on, and then you got to remember, they make him, he's going from standing up to playing his hand down.
You're right, I'd forgotten that.
122-year-old Monty Kiffin.
That was a bad hire, by the way.
It is a bad hire. It's a bit, you know, there's a theory out there that the Tampa 2 has been figured out. You buy it?
Well, I think you can't just run it. You have to mix up coverage.
Pure Tampa 2 has been figured out.
Well, I think like any coverage, there are things you can do to beat it. And I think for a while, though, they got away with running that all the time because people hadn't figured it out. It was a new coverage. Now that you figured it out, it's no different than cover 2 or cover 3, cover 4, you know, single high, man over, man high, robber, whatever the different coverages are. They all have an answer, and so as a coordinator, you got to mix it up, and it's
but
a chess match.
But when you play that Tampa 2, and that middle linebacker vacates the middle, that you can run those crosses in there and kind of, you know, get it that
way.
Yeah,
but my point is, Pete, you can do that against any cover.
The key to the Tampa 2 was the 4 in the front.
Got there before you could do anything.
It wasn't the coverage in the back. It was those 4 guys with Sapp and Simeon Rice and all those guys getting after the quarterback.
Well, I just look at the Cowboys, and I watched them last night get hammered and think, how are they going to be next year? How are they going to get there? And Jason Garrett, how does he survive this?
Here's the thing.
He doesn't.
Does Tom win the East?
How about the Eagles?
Well, here's the thing on the Giants.
What are the Giants? 4-6?
3.
3-6.
3-6.
But they have 2 home games they get in a row. They get the Packers.
Without?
The Tolzien.
Yeah.
And they get the Cowboys next week in 2 weeks. So they should get to 5 wins, right?
So you get 5-6, and Dallas is 5-6, so you could be tied with Dallas.
And the Eagles,
Are 5-5,
right?
So they have a bye, right, this week?
Yeah, they're right there with them.
And so who do the Eagles play out of the bye?
I'll look, but they get.
Right. I mean, you could technically, if you're the Giants, if you win this week, you could be playing for the division lead. That's unreal.
Are they good enough?
No, none of them are good enough, though.
That's the problem. Somebody's going to win that division at 8-8, don't you think?
Well, I mean, we saw 7-9.
Here's the Eagles' schedule. Redskins next week. They play the Redskins this week.
When's their bye?
The week after.
They have the late bye.
Then they get the Cardinals.
Yeah, they do. That's a late bye.
Then they get the Lions, who are pretty good.
The Lions went into Chicago and won yesterday.
Then they go to Minnesota. Minnesota stinks. Then they have the Bears at home, and they're not very good. And then they got the Cowboys. So their schedule's favorable the rest of the way.
Have they already played the Giants twice?
Yes, they split. They lost to the Cowboys. The
Eagles are going to win the division.
Are they good enough? I mean, can you sit here and say they're going to beat the Redskins this week?
Doesn't everyone beat the Redskins nowadays?
Yeah, but I mean, can you sit here and say with certainty that they're better than
No,
the
but I can't tell you about any of the AFC, NFC East teams. My point is, with that schedule, it's the easiest schedule.
I'll tell you a team that might slip into the postseason. The team that's coming here Sunday.
What's Arizona's record?
5-4,
and they'll be 6-4 this week.
Whoa!
They're playing really well on defense, and yesterday they played pretty well on offense.
Yeah,
don't make me make my Stone Cold Lock of the Week.
Here's their schedule though. Jaguars this week. Colts at home.
So it'll be 5-5, 6-5.
At the Eagles.
Okay.
Could win that. Home against the Rams.
Rams aren't very good.
At the Titans.
Wait, hold on. They just pounded the Colts on the road, 38.
That was an aberration.
That's
game.
One of those games that gets away from you and it just goes.
I guess, but Taven Austin's really good.
So, is there a? Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not a chance that your feelings about the Jaguars aside, that the Cardinals can legitimately win the next 4 games before they go to Seattle. They play five, actually. Jaguars at home, on the road, Colts at home, Eagles on the road, Rams and Titans.
Can we just put the Saints and the Seahawks in the NFC title game
now? Are you eliminating San Francisco already after yesterday?
They're done.
What about Carolina?
I like Carolina, but I'm not – Carolina. Do they have enough on offense?
That's what Carolina's lacking, a weapon.
Yeah.
They have Steve Smith and Olsen, but they lack the other weapon. And offensive line, so-so on the right side. Secondary, bad. But they've played well. They've played
better. Like Seattle, Percy Harvin's going to come back, and that's going to give them another weapon. And that running game with Marshawn Lynch is just deadly. Wilson's really good. That defense is outstanding. I just think when it gets tight and it's going to get, cold and the bad weather and Seattle's going to have the best record in the NFC.
Seattle still has to go to San Francisco now.
Now, why do you say they're done? You did. You said decisively they're done. I'm just curious.
No, I think they're a wild card team. I don't think they can win it from the wild card.
But here's the other thing.
We're going to Seattle, obviously.
Yeah, I think. And Kaepernick, I was wrong. This is hard for me to say. And so I'm going to take a deep breath before I say it.
Go ahead. This ought to be good. Say it. Say it nice.
Pete was right about Kaepernick. We got to wait. We jumped to the conclusion on him.
Wow.
A lot of people jumped.
No.
His tape closely, like Jaworski and
we jumped.
Phil Sims. I remember Phil Sims when I talked to him this summer and when I was up there doing the thing. He was saying how great he was.
We've jumped. I'm not saying either way. We just jumped.
You can't say
You don't throw for 45 yards if – I mean, that's
91 yards.
No, 45 net.
Well, he threw for 91.
I know, but 45 net.
But think about this,
team.
Though. He threw for 413 in the opener. In the game since, he's been over 200 yards one time. He is really bad in yards.
He looked really, really inaccurate when I saw him and watching the tape.
He's just not very good right now. And you can't win in the league. And you know what? Russell Wilson
And that defense isn't the same. I mean, they're good, but they were – like dominant for 2 or 3 years.
I think Russell
and Justin Smith is not the same player. Alden Smith, what he's going to be. I mean, when you watch what the Seahawks did to the 49ers, they beat them up front. And they're going to get those two tackles back, Okun and Giacomini. And they're going to be good.
I wonder about their weapons. And I know Percy's coming.
But
it's a great assumption to think Crabtree and Harvin are both going to be the exact same players coming off of their injury.
I'd rather have Percy than Crabtree. Crabtree's going off the Achilles. Percy's coming off the hip. Difference.
Yeah, still.
Much different.
You don't know?
Yeah, I do. I know.
But do you know he's going to be the same player?
He's going to be better than Crabtree.
Want to come off an Achilles.
Because he's always been better than Crabtree.
All right, we need our final break. We'll come back and wrap up another raucous edition. Jaguars Thursday from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, back to wrap up this edition of Jaguars.
Where did the 2 hours go?
Somewhere between the two of you, you chewed it up and spit it out.
I think we need 3 hours. Not enough time.
Joe's taking shots at you again.
What'd you say?
I said you chewed it up and spit it out, and he said you swallowed it.
It's hurtful. What's the HR's number? What's the number for HR?
We'll get that extension for you here when we get done.
You bully me.
If I was going to bully you, let me just tell you what I'd do. I'd beat you. There would be no bullying. I just
don't make me. Don't make me tell you what I
do. What?
Don't make.
What
me
are you going to do?
I shoot you. I told Gary Walker that once.
You're threatening to kill me.
You're threatening to beat me up?
I did not. I said if I was going to bully you.
He didn't threaten to kill you. He just threatened to shoot you. He could shoot you in the hand.
I didn't say I was going to kill you.
Violence is a bad thing.
I don't know. I don't even use guns.
Oh, pray. I'm glad that makes
but
me
But if
feel
I had
so
to, I would.
Oh, where has this conversation gone?
I have no idea.
But Gary Walker once threatened to kick my butt, and I said, you know what, Gary? I'll shoot you in your face. And you know what he told me? He goes, is that a threat? I go, take it for what it's worth.
There's no bullying.
He bullied me.
There's no bullying.
They used to bully me. He bullied me when I was on the team. When I was covering the team.
They tried
to bully you. Give me one example. Besides, I roped you off. You weren't allowed in the circle of trust anymore.
Yeah, that lasted about a half a day.
Circle of trust.
Well, first off, you couldn't keep me out because you were my deep throat, so you had to lay it on the side when nobody was looking.
Yeah, for those people who are not familiar with Watergate, that's a Watergate reference.
Yeah, he was my deep throat source. He was my deep throat source.
Let's make that clear.
Yeah, he was my deep throat source. He gave me all my information. He pulled me to the side when nobody was looking. Then he put up the tape around to make it look like he didn't want me in there.
All right.
Why do you lie? Why do you put up this lie?
Can we get to the Monday night game?
Yeah. Yes.
You got winless Tampa.
I'm not happy with him lying.
Against Miami, who has fallen apart. You got two franchises. I mean, you say what you want about 1-8 here. This team, with its owner, its general manager,
its
coach, its front office,
it knows
with Mark
what it's
Lamping,
doing.
They got it all. They've got a plan. Oh, they're falling apart in Tampa with Schiano.
Oh, it's a joke down
and
there.
Miami, boy, at one point you thought, Miami, they're 3-0. Joe Philbin's a good coach. Looks like they've got their quarterback. Here they go.
Philbin now, might be a good coach, though. I mean.
Yeah, no. I still think he probably is, but look at the mess they've got down there. You can't even get to their football team because you got to go through all the muck.
Who would you – which of the three teams, which situation would you rather have?
Jacksonville.
Yeah,
of
this
course.
One.
Of course.
Because you get to build.
We don't have bullying, except for on the radio show.
You don't have a bullying coach.
We don't have a coach who's lost
the team. Your coach here is
crazy.
And Schiano's lost a team. I mean, whoever thought Mercer would be the second worst thing in somebody's locker room?
Yeah, I'd have forgotten that.
We don't have Mercer. We don't live in.
You're good.
Here's the other thing.
That's quick.
We don't live in South Florida.
I'm down there 4 days
a week.
Yeah, I was
going to say, Pete pretty much does.
That's your problem.
No.
Tell me where you'd rather live, though.
Here.
Okay,
I
that's
choose
right.
to live here.
That's my point. This is why it's a better place. It's a better job.
I grew up down there.
But you chose to live here.
As an adult, this is the better place to live. As a 19, 18, 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old.
At what point does what age does that stop?
Oh, that stops. It just stops. You get old, but that's the problem. If you're a player, you'd much rather live in South Florida than Jacksonville.
Yeah, maybe.
A young single player would much rather live in, you know. But there is a lot more to do down there. Even I mean, just in terms of shows and whatever.
Shows. You're going to a lot of shows.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about
Let's
now.
Back up. The cultured Pete Prisco going to shows.
Concerts and stuff, Tony. You
okay, when's the last concert and show you went to, Pete?
Let me think. Well, first off, I've never been to a play, nor will
okay,
I
Okay, then shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, well, you wouldn't go see Warhorse when it's here in February?
No.
When was the last play you went to, Mr. Culture?
Jersey Boys on Broadway.
Who dragged you there?
My wife wanted to go. I was with her. See, I'm not going by myself.
No, I wouldn't go. I would know.
But I'll say this. Jersey Boys was good.
Yeah, but they sang Frankie Valli songs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I enjoyed it.
I probably wouldn't mind
that. I got drugged to Cats one. You might as well just poke my eyes out.
Memories?
Yeah. Just poke them out. Just
God knows you know what I say about art. I said that out loud. I just don't get that whole thing. Going to an art museum or something and looking at paintings.
Oh, I don't either. I went to the Louvre. Is that what it's called in France?
Yeah.
That place is boring.
I remember my wife dragged me to the museum here once for some class she was taking, and I was like sitting there, and I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? They throw stuff against a wall. He called art.
You know the Mona Lisa that like everyone. Yeah. I saw that in the Louvre. I'm like, really? This is what I mean. This is the big deal,
right? I'm the same way.
I stood in line to see it too.
Why?
And I was upset because I wanted to stand there. Well, because it's history. Because it's an important artifact in the world. I mean,
why is it? Why?
Yeah, why is it though? I don't
why
get
is it.
It
such a good painting? Is it such a great painting?
I don't get it.
Are there paintings that are just as good?
Because Leonardo da Vinci is a master. And that was considered to be his masterpiece. I mean,
I
you wouldn't
know.
Want to see that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was overrated.
We're big rubes.
By the way,
we're big rubes.
I'd rather watch the game.
Me too. That's exactly what people are thinking right now.
I'd rather watch the game, too.
I'd rather watch Fast and Furious 6 rather than
No,
do
not
that.
Me.
Oh,
but I'd rather
Bacelli.
I'd rather watch a game.
Your family's from Italy. Leonardo, one of the greats, and you wouldn't want to see one of the greats that your kinfolk, you know, that your people created?
I mean, I'll look at it and then walk by.
You know what you'd see, by the way, for people who haven't seen it?
The Vatican was cool, though. I went to the Vatican.
God bless
you. I want to go to the Vatican.
The Sistine Chapel was cool.
By the way,
the priest can go, please, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 27 years since your last confession.
It's been longer than that for you. I'm sure it has.
Have you ever been?
Yeah. Okay. We used to make the thing go up and down when we bounced on the thing when I was a Catholic
thing.
School. The
what
light.
Thing?
The light. Remember the light that said you were in there?
It's been since second grade.
Don't you remember the light when you knelt down on
Pete
the
Pete had his first confession, and it was his last. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a great night, everybody.